see that. And then somebody gave, if somebody gave that to Luke, then somebody gave Sam this one. All right? Exactly the same. And as the parent of twins, I'm like, thank you very much, okay? You just helped us keep from a major fight right there. And then somebody else gave this gift here. Oh, that's legit right there, all right? And they also gave this one. All right. Awesome. Again, as a parent, I was very thankful that somebody did that to give them identical gifts to avoid the obvious fights that would happen, right? And just cut right to it. I thought that was very thoughtful and very kind of those people. And then came the gift from their grandpa. And he gave them these little treasure-looking boxes. And the boxes look a little bit different. And then when you open the boxes up, you start to see that in Luke's box, there are all these little puzzles, all right? These little intricate little puzzles and things like that, little gadget-type things that absolutely fit Luke's personality perfectly, right? He was thrilled when he saw this. He loves to spend time working on puzzles, and he could spend hours working on these kinds of things. It was this perfect gift designed specifically for him. And then in Sam's box, he got this gift full of these old bottle caps, all right? Because if you've seen Sam and you know anything about him, you know he loves to collect things, all right? He collects everything. He got a hold of my hole puncher, and he started punching holes in paper, and then he wanted to collect the holes, which is really hard to sweep up, man. So he collects boxes and rocks and all these other things, but right now he's on bottle caps. And so he was thrilled when he opened up his treasure box, and it's filled with all of these bottle caps. Now, I was very grateful that somebody gave them identical gifts to avoid the fighting, right? But I was moved when I saw these gifts because they're specific and they're very personal and they were designed specifically for each kid. That's the kind of gifts that God gives to us. That's the kind of gifts he gives us. He hasn't given us identical gifts. That's nice, right? But these gifts are richly diverse, and it's absolutely beautiful. I love that. I love seeing the way he does that out of his heart. That's the next part of it. Number three, these gifts are diverse. They're diverse, and they're designed specifically for us. And the mix of gifts that God has placed in you is unique, and nobody else has those. Nobody else has those in that combination at the same strength that you have them. You are unique in the way that you have been shaped and gifted, and God has done that for a purpose. It's for the building up of the church and the advancing of his kingdom in the world. And we need your gifts, diverse and unique and specifically you. That's the way he's done it, in his wisdom and in his grace. God is grieved by division, but he revels in diversity. He revels in diversity. God doesn't want uniformity. He loves unity. He loves unity, but that doesn't mean uniformity. He gives it to us in diverse kinds of ways. You might be sitting there thinking right now, analyzing what gifts God has given to you and the way that the Holy Spirit has empowered you. And maybe right now the Holy Spirit is provoking your heart and calling to mind the things and the ways that he shaped you and gifted you. And he's telling you right now the ways that you need to start giving those gifts away. We trust that he's moving and he's working and he's speaking to you specifically right now. And you might be coming back at him with all kind of reasons why you're not gifted enough. and you've got all kind of reasons why you want to reserve your gift, and you don't think that you are gifted enough. Maybe you think your gift is just too small to be used for the glory of God, the building of the body, and the advancement of the kingdom. We need small. Small matters. Small matters. On November 19th, 1863, they were dedicating the new National Cemetery at Gettysburg. And there was a featured speaker, an honored guest, giving the keynote address there at Gettysburg that day in 1863. Everyone was excited to hear the words from this great leader. And his name was Edward Everett. Anybody ever heard of him? Right? Exactly. Edward Everett was the featured speaker, the keynote address at Gettysburg on that day. And he stood up and he spoke for over 2 hours. And the people loved it. They applauded. They were hanging on every word. It was a powerful address. It was a powerful moment. It was the highlight of the day in most people's minds. And then another speaker stood up, President Abraham Lincoln. They figured, hey, since the president bothered to be here, we should probably let him say a few words. And that's all he did, was say a few words. 272 words, to be exact. He didn't speak for over 2 hours. He barely spoke for 2 minutes. And it's called the Gettysburg Address. And we remember what he said that day, because the power of those small words were used to begin the healing of the soul of a torn nation and cast a new vision for us about what it looked like to live in the new birth of freedom, as he said it. A government for the people, by the people, of the people. And it set a new vision for who we are as a united country. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I think it will be helpful for all of us to go back to those words in a time like we're in right now, wouldn't it? To remind ourselves of what we were told that day. Small amount of words, but they changed the course of history. Small matters. Small matters. You might not have 2 hours worth of gifts. Do you have 2 minutes? Do you have 272 words worth of gifts? Small matters. And God's empowered you, and God has equipped you, and we need the gift he's given you. It's not your gift alone. You've got to give it away. The last piece is this. Number four, these gifts are for the common good. These gifts are for the common good. They are spiritual. They are gifts. They are diverse. And they are for the common good. That's what Paul says right here. The Holy Spirit gives them these manifestations of the Spirit for the common good. He's given them so that the body can be built up, the body of Christ, the church, to build up the body and to advance the kingdom. We've talked a lot about the fact that your gifts are unique. You are unique in the way God has shaped you, but you've got to understand this. You are unique, but you are not alone. You are unique, but you are not alone. You are a part of something bigger than yourself. And we need your gifts orchestrating together with the gifts of the rest of the church to build up the body. I love what Paul goes on to say. He says this, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. A body. And he goes on to unpack this powerful imagery of what it looks like for us to operate as the body of Christ. He says, does the eye say that I don't belong to the body because I'm not a hand? No. Does the ear say, I don't belong to the body because I'm not an eye? No, we need all of the parts working together. That's what we need. That's what we need. That's what Paul is calling us to. That's the vision of the body of Jesus operating in the world. This past week, I spent time at a camp for teenagers, so I made it. All right? I am here. Hallelujah. And I got to work with middle schoolers and high schoolers over the past week at this camp. It was an incredible time. Incredible time. But I realized one night at the dodgeball tournament, which is just cruel, right? Middle schoolers and dodgeball. Don't do that to people. But I realized there the way the body operates, and it was kind of hilarious to watch. Like as the dodgeball was coming towards the face, right? The whole rest of the middle school body works together to try to protect the face, all right? They're all working together. And when the face gets hit, all right, the whole rest of the middle school body like collapses in pain, okay? The body is working together. We protect each other. And Paul says right here in this passage, when one part of the body suffers, the whole body suffers. When one part of the body suffers, the whole body suffers. We all feel it. If you're walking through a time of tragedy, difficulty, suffering, pain today, then we're around you. We love you and we feel it with you. Help us to know how to walk with you. Let us walk with you. Let us walk with you. If you're experiencing a time of rejoicing today, Paul says the whole body rejoices with every part. We rejoice and we celebrate with you. The body of Christ is moving together. That's who we're designed to be. But we need all of the parts operating together. We need all of the parts operating together so that we can build up the body and advance the kingdom in the world. God has gifted you in a unique way. And there's a purpose for those gifts. We need you. We need you here. We need you to look around and find a place where you can jump in and give your gift away, where your gift is deeply needed. Look around. If God has given you that gift, that he's empowered you, he's equipped you, he's called you to serve in that place, and we need you. Come and jump in. But it's not just for the local church. It's not just for what happens on a Sunday in these walls or what happens in leading small groups or what happens in our mission efforts or anything like that. It's also about the community around us. And we've got to advance the kingdom in this community. Scripture says that the kingdom of God has been always advancing and always on the move. And we've got to join in with that. And we need your gifts to help. You are a missionary. You are a missionary. And your gifts are speaking to you and telling you the ways in which you are a missionary in this community. Your gifts are telling you what your mission field looks like. We need you to serve. We need you to use those gifts for the glory of God and the advancing of the kingdom. My dad just retired after 44 years of serving faithfully in ministry, and he gave his books to me and my brothers, right? My brothers and I love it. It's so great. I've got like stacks of my dad's old books now, and I'm just thrilled by it. I was looking through one of the books, and I noticed this written on the inside cover. There was this quote that he wrote down. It was in his handwriting. I love seeing it. It said, if you are not a missionary, you need one. If you are not a missionary, you need one. To be a disciple of Jesus means to be a missionary. That's the Great Commission. Go and make disciples. And you're not a disciple fully until you're making disciples. God has equipped you and empowered you to use your gifts to advance the kingdom and to impact the community around you. How are you doing that? The writer Frederick Buechner said, "The place God calls you to is where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet." What is that place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet together? That's your point of calling. And God has shaped you and gifted you to live that out as you walk in step with the Spirit. Every one of you got one of these on the way in. If you didn't, make sure you grab it on the way out. Love design. As Paul wraps up this passage in chapter 12, talking about the gifts of the Spirit, he goes on in this continuation of that thought. And he says this, "And now I will show you the most excellent way. If you have all of these gifts, but you don't have love, then it's nothing." Amen. If you have all of these gifts, but you don't have love, it's nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing. Our gifts are not just for ourselves. They are used to love the world around us. How has God designed you to love the world? The fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And every other fruit of the Spirit comes from that first seed, love. Love. God has empowered us, and He's designed us, and He's commissioned us. So I want to challenge you to grab one of these today and look through it. We simply use the great commandment that Jesus gives when He says this. The greatest commandment is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And so we take those four things and we unpack it to say, what does it look like for me to love God with all of my heart, with all of my passions, with the things that I love to do the most? What does it look like for me to love God with all of my mind through the unique perspective that He's given me, the unique way that I understand the world and interpret the world around me, my personality, my experiences? How is He using all of those things? And with all my soul, how has God equipped me with those spiritual gifts? With all my strength, those things that I am naturally good at. And then what's the ultimate design? How and why do those things come together? What is the place of convergence that's pointing to my place of purpose for building up the body and for advancing the kingdom in the world? You are gifted, but the gift isn't yours. Give it away. Jesus, we thank You for the way that You love us and for the way that You have given Yourself away. We recall together as You sat around the table with Your disciples on that last night, You said, "This is what love looks like. This is what it looks like when God gives Himself away." He took the bread and He said, "This bread represents my body that is broken to make you whole." And then He took the cup and He said, "This cup represents the blood of the new covenant poured out for the salvation of the world." It's beautiful. Embrace it. The cup. One Spirit to drink, Paul says. And it's through the blood of Jesus that we are forgiven of our sins and empowered to live a life of freedom and fullness. Through that, we celebrate You today, Lord. We're grateful for Your sacrifice, and we embrace it. In just a moment, we're going to invite you to come forward. I'm going to ask Bill Sterling to join me down here. Will, Bill? And as you come forward to participate in this meal that Christians have been sharing together in memory of Christ's sacrifice and an expression of our love to Him and our surrender to Him. If that's where your heart is today, embrace what Jesus Christ has done for you, that He says, "Here is a seat at the table. Come and join me. Come and join in what I've done for you." There's a place at the table for everyone. For everyone. You are welcome. Reflect on His goodness today. Come and celebrate the Lord's Supper.